Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. A star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Hi, everyone. All right, welcome to Kill Me Now. My name's Judy Gold. I'm the host, the creator. I do everything for this podcast. I have no help. By the way, Hennessy's here. He does nothing.
Aloha.
And we have Patrick back.
I'm the eye candy.
You know, Patrick went away for a little while because he got mad at me. And then...
You were his Kill Me Now moment.
Yeah, and then now Seth is you know, in charge, which... He thinks he is. And, you know, he thinks he's great, and he's not that great. That's the thing about Seth, okay? Before I introduce our guest, who I've been fucking... You don't know how many DM Twitter messages for the past 2 years. Please do my podcast. Please do my podcast. Please. Finally. Fucking finally on the Friday before Christmas. But I'm going to tell you a very sad Kill Me Now moment.
Kill me now.
I go to therapy, okay, on Wednesday. By the way, I've had an ear infection, so I've been dizzy. But anyway, I go to therapy, and I'm leaving therapy, and I'm walking across 82nd and West End, and I go to call Elisa, and my foot gets caught in some fucking thing in the street, and I went flying in the middle of the street, and I landed on my elbow, my bad knee, and my wrist. I am in the fucking worst pain. I feel like I was in a car accident. Two guys had to come pick me up. Shut up. And Panina, my sister-in-law and niece are here, Panina and Danya, we're Jews. And Panina said, why did two guys have to pick you up? That's how fucking mean my family is. Okay? Anyway, so you know how like when an older person has a bad fall and they're like, that's it. This is the beginning of the end. I feel like this is the beginning of my end. I am in such fucking pain. My wrist hurts. Like, my whole fucking body hurts. My back, my knee.
Yeah, I mean, you were an athlete for... I mean, you are an athlete, but you know what I mean?
What are you fucking laughing at?
That happens. And you're tall, so...
And I'm fat.
Debatable. I don't think you're fat.
Okay, but anyway, I'm just letting you know, it was embarrassing, and I screamed. The phone went flying, and I went, ah! And that, like, and I feel like, those guys came to help me up. They're like, would you like to call an ambulance? I'm literally laying in the middle of the street, like, ow. Well, you can either call an ambulance, or you're going to have to move over to, it's like, fuck you! You got to get out of the street. I'm like, I'm fucking, and then they leave. They leave me there. I'm like, limping. It was horrible. Okay, so that's my fuck shit fucking therapist, Upper West Side, fuck. Anyway, guess who's here today? Jen Kirkman, ladies and gentlemen!
Thank you.
Jen, I have been dying to have you on this podcast.
I've been dying to come on, and then I realized, you know what is so funny, is you had given me your number last year, and I transposed, is that a word, one digit incorrectly, so I'd been texting, not you.
Who?
I don't know. And they never wrote back, to say, you know, this
is... So you thought I was ghosting you?
I just thought, oh, she's probably someone who gets a lot of texts and would rather DM me. And I was like, so I would text you and then be like, DM you, like, hey, I just texted. But I would say personal things, like, so the person was probably like, what a crazy person. So, and then when you just gave me your number again this week, I'm like,
oh.
So someone out there.
Somewhere out there.
You know,
oh, sorry.
You mention my name on another episode. By the way, Eddie Brill took this weird credit for me going to Emerson College, and he's wrong about the whole trajectory of my comedy in Emerson.
Really? That's so interesting that Eddie Brill would exaggerate and take credit for something.
You could not major in
Eddie Brill.
You could not major in comedy at Emerson College when I went there. It was a piece of shit school with a take yourself too seriously theater department. And I said to them, I'd like to get into comedy, and Kristen Linklater said it was depraved.
Is Linklater?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you know this is the Jew Bell.
I love the Jew Bell. I'm a big
you know
fan
this
of
the is
show.
The Jew Bell.
But that was my
so
whole
anything
point.
Remotely Jewish, or I'm just explaining to my sister-in-law and my niece. Okay,
but
go ahead.
I was so upset because you kept hitting the Jew Bell for me, and I'm like, I'm not Jewish.
I know.
It's so weird that I'm not.
I know,
not.
But and I, you know, I do research, and I was like, I can't fucking. I mean, like, your name is Jewish. I mean, your face isn't Jewish.
Well, Kirkman, I just found out
German.
Is from Manchester, England.
Oh, Kirkman.
So the Kirk is the least Jewish part.
But you have German and Polish in you.
I'm German and Polish on my grandmother's
so
side.
So how many Jews do you think they killed?
Well, maybe we were.
Yeah, you don't know.
Jewish.
Oh, now you're
wait,
Jewish.
Yeah, you could. You should do your DNA thing.
My dad, I know. I don't feel like sticking my cells in an envelope. I feel like they're doing that for bad. But it's, you know what it is I was raised on comedy and then I lived in New York for so long and I feel like comedy is Jewish, so anyone who's in it has a Jewish vibe.
Right.
If they're doing comedy correctly. If you don't, then you're a terrible comic.
Right. I agree.
So, and I feel that people's sense of humor is getting un-Jewy, and that's why there's all this on Twitter, like, well, you should really rethink that. No, I shouldn't.
No, shut the fuck up. Shut your fucking mouth.
Like, if I complain.
Go with it, you fuckhead.
And they're like, there's worse things going on in the world. I'm like, yeah, no, it's all under the umbrella of, I understand everything's terrible.
Right,
but
also,
the hotel I'm staying in does not have Christmas decorations up, and I think it's weird, and the manager couldn't explain why.
Right.
So why can't I be upset?
Are you in a kosher hotel?
No, I just think it's hipster. There's
where are you? Where are you staying? What part
air,
of town?
Is this going to air when I...
No. This is not going to air till the 30th.
Like, I'm worried. I'm at the refinery.
January. What's his airing? You're our 2018!
You're our first guest.
Which is going to be a good year because we're going to take over.
You're the first new guest.
I'm
January
not confident in that.
Okay, well, we're going to discuss
they're
that.
Steal it again.
No, they're not.
Okay.
Because, I fucking hate them. I fucking fuck. How many times a day do I say how much I hate them?
Who?
The fuck. Trump and his fucking...
I didn't know if you meant specifically a certain... Men. I thought this morning, and by the time we hear this, maybe it will have happened, but I was told by my...
Firing?
The Jared Kushner would be today. I'm waiting.
Really?
And I wanted to go to 666 Fifth Avenue and just take a shit outside of it.
I can't walk by Trump... Kushner, sorry. I can't walk by without giving that fucking building the finger. I'm not kidding.
It's like having... It's literally like... Mr. Potter, It's a Wonderful Life.
Right.
Like a superhero movie that I've never seen. But it's lit. I can't believe it is a movie. An evil rich man in New York City who has a building with his name on it.
Right.
Is like,
and then all those buildings on the West Side Highway, too. There's like a million of them.
Ugh.
I hate him. Anyway.
I hate him.
It's like the bad guy in Inspector Gadget.
This is why you go on voice probation. Okay.
It's time
because
for
VP. So
you are in a VP.
Jen.
Yes.
You've written 2 books.
Yeah.
You've done 2 specials.
Yep. The second one, they fucked everyone and gave it 50,000 specials. So I think one person saw the second one and it doesn't matter.
You know, it's you know, when I did a special, my first, I did HBO in 1995.
Yeah.
And it was a big thing. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't like everyone was getting... And now it's like a fucking factory.
I know. My audience got smaller after my second special. It blew up after my first, and then now it's back.
It's that's why I'm going to do an album. You know why? Because I feel
so
like...
cooler.
That's how I listened to comedy growing up.
Yeah.
And when you do an album, or when you're when you listen to comedy as a fan on an album, and you go see that performer, you want to see those bits. In person. It's not like you're like, I don't want to hear that bit. Do you know what I mean? You know, like when you do it on a, when you do a special, a Netflix special, it's like, I saw her do that bit. But when you hear it and then you see it in person, it's a whole different fucking.
I've never thought of that. And it's so true because there's stuff that you're like, wait, what are they laughing at? I didn't see what she just did.
Right.
For sure. I'm sure people listen to your guys' albums before they come and see your show. Just like
I only have one. I'm getting another one. I'm going to do a bunch because I have so much fucking material. And no one will get... I've aged out.
Oh.
Yes, I've aged out. Hey, welcome to the Hebrew Home for the Aged.
I don't want to hear talk anyone under 40. I literally don't care.
Well, what about my niece? My niece is here. Let me tell you.
But not as a... Are you a comedian?
No. I'm going to... No one in my family. You can ask my sister-in-law. I am the fucking... no one knows where I came from. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So,
because you guys are more shy?
It's shy. If you met my siblings, you'd be like, "Where did you even grow up in the same fucking state?" I'm not kidding. They're
100%.
Yeah. So Danya, I'm so proud of her. She's the she's my niece. She's the oldest of the generation of kids of my, and she's a principal at a charter school. And some of her, she's 28.
What? I didn't even know you
could be a principal. Yes, and some of her. Employees, teachers, are teachers she had as a kid. Like, she's their boss. She's 28 years old.
That's awesome.
She's fucking youngest principal. I mean, she's amazing.
Do you walk past the administrative office, like, flipping them off? Just be like, yeah, that's what get me in trouble.
Like, she has so much responsibility. She's 28.
Mm-hmm.
And then her brother is, he's going to be a water lawyer, an environmental lawyer. So he got his master's in water.
Oh my God.
And,
this gives me such hope.
And then now he's in law school.
Because yesterday I had to teach a barista at Starbucks what when cream goes bad, what it looks like. And he didn't.
No way.
He wanted to keep it out. And it was literally, I go, this is yogurt. He goes, no, it's cream. I go, no, it's not literally. I'm saying it looks like yogurt. You got to put this back.
Right.
It's curdled. He goes, I think it just sits that way. I go, this.
Shut up!
Please.
Shut your fucking mouth! Okay. So now.
Anyway.
But Jen, I'm gonna do who I thought you were and who you are.
I
so,
have a story about you from when we were younger.
Go. Is it good?
Can I guess?
Oh.
You, and I hate when people say this to me, not like anyone says this to me, but you know what I'm saying. Like, I hate anything that makes me feel like I'm calling the other person old, which I'm not.
Oh, I'm so old. I'm 55.
I'm 43.
You're young.
That's younger. That
right.
Young.
Like, look at this. Look at these gels.
Sisters.
I don't see
like
gels.
A little bit. Sisters. Don't I look like Jane right here with my sister? You can talk. You don't have to.
No, you do not look like Jane.
Okay, Jane. Sorry, Jewish. Go.
But I realized that I think I was bothering you to do a show. It was like some kind of benefit. This is pre 9/11, but I'm talking like a week before.
Okay.
It was like a friend of mine and I were all into like the women being oppressed by the Taliban, and we did some like benefit for them or something. We made these flyers. It was going to be at Caroline's. It was an all women show.
Right.
We loved you. We used to see you all the time. Your stuff about your mother. And when I started out, the first bits I ever did were about my mom, but I hadn't seen you yet.
Right.
But I think I got the idea from Howard Stern.
Right.
And then I saw you and I'm like, oh my God. It just, anyway.
Can I just say how many people point to the bell if I miss one
yes,
now.
It
takes like a minute. And then yes. Guests are like, ring the bell, ring the bell. All right,
we
go ahead.
We have to record this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, so we asked you to do it, and I just love, you were just my, I couldn't even fathom how I would ever be allowed to play a club someday, because people still weren't letting me play clubs. And so I would see you all the time. Anyway, we made these flyers, not you, but me and my friend, that said, not even a terrorist attack will keep this show from happening.
No way!
The show was scheduled for September 12th.
No fucking way!
Why did we put that on a flyer?
That is, whose idea was that?
Mine! And my friend...
Do you think you're psychic?
Weirder things have happened. I'm not going to say I predicted 9/11.
Right.
It'll sound insane.
Right.
But I'm winking, yes.
Yeah.
No, and then, so then, after that, then we trashed those flyers. I wish I still had them.
Right.
So then we had to cancel it and then redo the benefit, and then we gave the money to the firefighters. I guess we were
right.
like, fuck the women of the Taliban.
Right.
Still
oppressed. Yeah, fuck
but,
them.
But we gave it to the fire. Anyway, so... It was a great show, and thanks, and it was sold out, and you were great.
Oh,
you
thanks.
You were the headliner.
Oh, thank you.
But how annoying that must have been. And looking back now, if someone asked me to headline a benefit and they were some new starting out comic, I'd be like, fuck off.
Oh, no. But I And I had a month-old baby at that time.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
And I was probably thinner than I am now. Fat fuck.
That's what
thyroid.
Was talking
fuck
about.
It.
We were
how
like,
fat
she's
I am.
So thin.
Yeah,
I hope
I'm sorry.
She doesn't get fat.
Shut up.
So, no, no one was saying.
Okay. So.
Like, more tragic than 9/11 would be in 17 years if Judy got fat.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Okay. So anyway, I thought, like, Jen Kirkman, Jewy name, Jewy, I've met you. I was like, oh, she's Jewy. I thought at least half. Not even close.
You know if Judy
you're
works,
not even close to being
Jewy.
Like you're Boston Catholic, like Needham, right? Are you from Needham,
yeah.
Mass? Like, but did you know Jews growing up?
Yes,
you did.
My town was had a lot of Jews in it.
Oh, all right, that's good. Did you go to like bat mitzvahs and stuff?
I went to bat mitzvahs. I just had Jewish friends,
right?
So I did a lot of seders. I didn't host
right.
them. I mean, I went.
Right.
Open the door for Elijah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my family was very, like, we weren't religious. Like, we're not Christians.
Right.
And I was saying, like, the difference between Catholic and Christian is, like, Christian, like, Catholic is literally more closer to an atheist who's, like, just in case kind of thing.
Right.
And a Christian is really, like, living it, you know, whatever. And my mother would be, like, think it was just very weird to even mention Jesus in the home. So
right.
You go to church once a week,
Jesus.
God sees
yeah.
you. Yeah, true, true. But if we ever prayed at dinner, she'd be like, we're not doing that. Like, if she was
we're
just...
Not,
like,
sorry, Jen, we're not gonna pray
yes,
at dinner.
Because she used to say, God doesn't need to know
God doesn't, yeah. Every shit and fat. Shit and fat!
But there is shit and a fat. Jewishness about my mom, in a way. I don't really know how to describe
is she the
it.
Polish... German one?
She's German. Her dad's German. Her mom's French-Canadian.
Let me tell you something. There is a Jew. She is a Jew!
My Nana hated my grandfather. He was German. Because he was a horrible person, I guess.
Right.
And she would say to me, I'm so sorry I made you have German in you. She goes, I don't have any in me.
Right.
You're German. She goes, I hate the Germans.
So wait, did they get divorced?
No, he just died at 16. She was
all right.
pretty psyched.
That's great. Sounds really healthy.
Yeah,
so, all right. So
anyway,
you have two older sisters
yeah.
that are older.
They're 10 and 14 years older.
So do you think you were a mistake?
It's hard to say. It's my parents don't say that I am, not because they're trying to be like...
Like
chased.
They could tell you now. I
yeah,
mean, you have enough fucking...
Don't
yeah.
because there's always a layer of narcissism involved where
right.
it's like it has to be... No,
yeah, we totally.
I didn't think I could have kids because I had endometriosis, and I went to all these doctors, and I had one doctor who said, take a chance, Joanne, and one way to get rid of it is to try to get pregnancy. You're a miracle. So, and nothing can be just, we made a mistake here.
Right.
It has to be.
Like a big fucking.
There was
fucking...
a hardship, and I overcame
right.
it, and
right.
you're a miracle.
That's Jewy.
That's what I'm saying.
That's very Jewy.
Yeah, so.
Sorry.
That's what they tell me, is that they wanted another, but
right.
there was endometriosis, and some miracle doctor put her on the pill, which cured the endometriosis, and then she had me.
So, when I have two kids, and they're 5 years apart. So, when they were 10 and 15, I didn't want another fucking kid.
No.
What the fuck is wrong with your parents?
I don't think they did.
Well, are you close with your sisters?
Yes, actually. Not until I was a little older, but my one that's 10 years older, we talk every day. Or, I mean, we text.
So, she's like my age-ish.
She's 53.
Okay. And then what about the 57-year-old?
She's in Vermont. She's 57. She's more like reclusive and kind of like...
Is she married?
She's been married a bunch, but she's not married now. But she's great. I mean, we all get along and we're all
right.
super liberal and all that stuff.
Oh, it's just like my family.
But my older sister's a little more on the Bernie side of
right.
things, and it's too much for me.
I can't with Bernie. I can't.
If Fran Lebowitz doesn't like him, then I can't.
First of all, she goes, shut up. Nothing you say is going to fucking happen. Nothing you fucking say is going to ever happen.
And it's not because I'm a centrist. It's because you literally don't understand how government works.
Right.
You fucking kids.
Wait, what about
a Russian agent? I'm sorry, and it's going to come out before the
Okay,
thing.
Here's what I have to say. Crazy. This is what I have
Joe
to say.
Stein, Bernie, same.
Okay, listen. The fact that he becomes a Democrat to be in the race, takes their money, then after the race is over is like, "Fuck you Democrats. Fuck you."
Yeah,
fuck
that's,
you.
That's called spreading chaos.
Yeah.
His campaign manager is a partner of Trump's in the Ukraine.
Right.
Ted Devine and Manafort. Hello, people.
I can't with him. And he's a misogynist, too. Remember during the debates with the finger point? Oh, shut up. And there's videos of him when women confront him and he puts his hand in front of their face.
Yeah, he pushes them aside.
Yeah.
They're like, he can't be one. I'm like... So a 73-year-old man can't have some blind spots and be
right.
misogynist? He's
right.
the first one, the first white male.
Right.
Not misogynist.
The only one.
Oh,
right.
Okay. And they're like, he did this in Vermont. I'm like, I know from these hippies. My
right.
sister has lived there for 40
and her,
years.
Yeah, exactly. Who leaves New York at 18? That's when you come to New York. All right, whatever. Okay, your sisters were kind of out of the house when you were like in school and high
yeah,
school
so
and
by
everything.
Seven, I was an only child by...
And how old were your parents at that point?
They were older. They had me at 38. So, I don't know. They were in their late 40s.
Right. So that's like me. Mine were 40 and
were
48.
They were always like a... My house had all these weird... It was like my sisters were like Led Zeppelin...
Right.
Eight tracks. They left those
right.
for me. I was wearing bell bottoms in the 80s.
Right.
Hand-me-downs. My parents are more like Johnny Cash... Elvis 50s.
Right.
They weren't like the other parents who were younger in the
80s. Right.
So I was in a time warp always. Like, I have a weird sensibility.
That's the way I was. Like, my parents were older.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we watched, like, my mother listened to the Ink Spots.
I don't know that.
Yeah. Because
like
it's the 30s, 20s and 30s.
Oh, okay.
My mother's born in 22. My father's born in 1916.
Whoa.
Yeah.
This is my... Wow.
Dead and deader. But anyway, mom, dad. So, and my grandmother was born in 1896.
Wow. Yeah.
And so, I mean, I even remember our cooking. Like, I remember my grandmother baked a lot. I remember our sifter. Like, all these things from the 20s, like, their bakings. I have a recipe thing, too, that's so cool because of the handwriting and the recipes and everything. But... It's interesting because it's true. It is like a time warp. It's like their values and what their pop culture, whatever, was not the same as, you know, all these parents in their 30s.
Yeah, I was in a completely different thing. So I
right.
had a different sensibility, which now I'm grateful for.
Right.
I actually didn't mind then either, but I knew what stuff was. And so I was kind of an eccentric
right.
kid
right.
because I wasn't up on
right.
things. I was sort of behind.
Did everyone call you an old soul growing
no.
up?
No. And I hate that expression.
I do too.
It just means I want a fast track to be taken seriously.
Right.
So I'll just say this word.
Here's the other thing that I need to discuss.
Yeah.
It's going off on a tangent.
Sorry.
But you know, like I mentioned, I fell and everything.
Yeah.
And I had an ear infection and all this. And then someone texts me, you know what? It's the universe's way of saying you need to slow down. Shut the fuck up. No, it isn't.
I say
it's not the universe's fucking way of fucking shit. What?
I don't not agree with
no,
that.
No, but see, people who say that are getting it wrong by an inch. Here's
right.
what it is.
Right.
If you fall down and all that happens, you can do two things about it. Go over here, get crazy, make it worse. Or you can say to yourself, hey, what's a lesson I could learn from this? Maybe it's okay right now to stay slowed down. It doesn't mean this happened because of that. And when people talk like
well,
that,
I can't. I hate that shit. You know that. But I
stupid.
Do shit. Like I got the ear infection, and then I'm like, googling what you know, because you know, every time you get sick, like sinuses means blank or this. Well, yeah.
Right.
So then I'm looking. What does the ear mean? So the ear means you don't want to hear something.
That was like, and I had vocal cord issues a
right.
couple years ago, and a lot, my friend told me to go to this nutritionist because for this acid reflux
yeah.
diet, which was great, and I just needed someone to explain to me this makes the body acidic, this doesn't, right. But sometimes it's okay to have this. I just, right. Give me a list, I'm off, I'll
right.
do it.
And this, I can figure it out myself.
This woman got,
right.
Well, you have to start eating meat. I haven't eaten in 30 years. That's not why my vocal cords are busted. It's because I tore, but there's right. acid reflux. I can feel it coming up.
Right.
She finally was like, I don't know why it's not getting better. I'm like, because you haven't given me the foods to eat and not to
right.
eat. And she goes, do you think there's a childhood trauma? Like,
oh, shut up!
Ask me if I was molested. She goes, because sometimes we lose our voice because we feel our voice.
Oh, God,
away.
I can't. I can't with this.
I said, I'm sure that's true. But you've literally never put me on the acid-free diet, which is what... So then
right.
I just saw a normal doctor
right.
who put me on it. It cleared up. And then he goes, you know what? These are so inflamed. And no one's giving you steroids. It cleared up.
Right.
That's your problem.
How's your penis after the steroids?
It's shrunk.
Oh, all right.
I don't use it ever.
Yeah.
But anyway, but I was like...
Give it to me!
I can't believe she would say you were molested. I don't know this woman.
I hate people. All right.
Anyway.
Hey everyone, did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States? And I'm one of them. You're listening to one of them. Fast Growing Trees has everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, house plants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and your space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Forever. I just want you to know that I just got off a plane and I walked in my apartment. What was the first thing I did? Is I came in and said hi to Avi, my fig tree. I'm telling you, and I have Yael, which is another plant, but Fast Growing Trees has changed my atmosphere here in my apartment. You don't need a lot of space, but they do have, you know, they have stuff for outdoor spaces, but I live in an apartment, and I'm telling you, Avi and Yael, yes, they're both Jewish names, Hebrew, the space looks so much better, and I just had a conversation with Avi. Like, I was like, I missed you. I love having living things here. It's very, very, I don't know, it's made this more of a home. It's the best, and Elisa has some too, and she loves them, and she talks to them too, but she got that from me. Anyway, check out Fast Growing Trees. You need to be around plant life. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. You're welcome.
So let's go back. So were you popular in like high school and like what were you involved in?
No, I was purposeful outcast. Like, because my family was very, my dad's a greenskeeper of a golf course. Like he's basically Bill Murray in Caddyshack.
Right.
So we were the like.
Like a fancy golf course?
No.
Like not a, like not a We Hate Jews. Jobs. Okay.
No, it's like you. I own my own plumbing company.
Right.
And I'm a cop that's going to have a good pension.
Right. And what about your mother?
Jews,
right.
But I don't think Jews would we ever want to go near that place.
Right, right, right.
My mother didn't work until I was like 18. And she worked at like a library at a school.
Did she go to college?
She went to secretarial school in the 50s.
Oh, that's like my mother. Well, she has had an associate's degree. All right.
Maybe my mom did. But anyway, so we didn't have a lot of money. And so I hung out with like a couple other kids that,
right.
that were more like lower working class or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Because we couldn't have afforded to live in the town that we lived in if the house hadn't come with my dad's job.
Right. Oh, I gotcha.
My parents probably hate that I'm saying this, but whatever. But I had like my couple other working class friends are still my friends today.
Right.
Then I had... The kids at school I just thought were such assholes. Like,
right.
There was something about me that was like, I'm not better than them.
I know.
Like,
I feel the same way because I got bullied every day.
But
you're going to be, you're an asshole.
Yeah. I hate that this exists in the world.
Right.
But I'm not upset that you don't like me because.
You're an asshole.
You're a
boy. And why do you fucking think you're so great? Like, that's the other thing. Like, yeah. I would look and go. You're like a fucking asshole. Like,
boys
why do you
physically bully me?
Yeah.
Which was really weird. I have the mean girls thing. The girls were very quiet. The boys would physically bully me. And I would have to fight back. And then the teacher would say, well, then don't do things to make them do it. Like, I came to school.
Oh, I hate that
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
And then okay.
I came to school
so what...
like Mozart once. Like, I thought I was funny. Because the Deus had just come out. And
right. I love that movie.
I don't know what I did. My parents would encourage me. They're like, that sounds great, Jen. You know, like, just right. go do it. And then
you were close with your grandmother, too.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
And then in high school, I got more like... It was literally like from a movie. I had an older neighbor, a couple years older, this punk rock guy down the street. He like walked over to my house in the summer before you enter high school. And he was like, here's a mixtape of like some punk rock bands. You should be into this. And I was like, okay.
Wait, just a guy down the street?
Yeah, he was like the older guy in high school that like.
Did he molest you?
No.
Okay.
He used to smoke cigarettes on the front porch with my
right.
dad.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't allowed to hang out with them.
Right, right, right.
So anyway, so I became like all black, but not goth, but like punk rock, but like theater, very
right.
serious actress, going to be in The Crucible,
right?
But wasn't cast. Then it was in a band, like I'm the lead
just
singer.
Artsy, like. Now, did you smoke pot?
No, I never did.
No drugs.
I was my whole goal in life was to be James Dean. I'm gonna go to New York. I'm gonna smoke. I'm gonna drink coffee. So I started smoking
right.
at like 15, and then but no drugs. I thought people who did drugs were stupid. I thought
right.
it was not smart people. So
right.
I never got into it. I have smoked pot in my life, but it's so harsh on me.
Right.
And I don't like the eating. I
oh,
like
I love the
high.
Edibles. I do. All right. Anyway.
I like to feel relaxed. So
well,
I like
to feel high so that I don't have to have my brain telling me what a fucking piece of shit I am. All right. Okay. So would you say you were popular in high school?
I had my friends.
Were you
me.
Like in like every group?
I was in my own thing, kind of.
Okay. Like then, an individual.
Yeah. And then as this thing happened in the early 90s with Nirvana and all the when all of that
we yeah.
just became the mainstream
right
the mainstream like football cheerleader boring kids
yeah
started to dress like my group of weirdos
right
and we were like what is happening so
right.
it was very strange so
right.
they wanted to be friends with us and we were like but you're boring
so
but yeah I had my little group we were called the freaks
mm-hmm.
before freaks
like freaks
came
and cakes ah! all right so did
freaks.
Did you so you did you apply, like you went to, all right, so here's yeah. my Emerson, you probably heard this, but I wanted to go to Emerson. I got into Emerson and my parents wouldn't let me go to Emerson because Judith Rutgers is $2,500 a semester.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not spending, and it's a very good, too bad. So
yeah.
that was it. I had no choice, even though I feel like had I gone there, I would have had a different career path.
Oh, no.
No? All right.
If it was a bad school and I went, it was a nothing. Because
right.
they had things that didn't make sense there. Like, I was an acting major, but they wouldn't let us interact with the kids who did television. Those kids got to go to internships in L.A. We weren't allowed to. We weren't allowed to be in. It was you were in theater or nothing. Don't act in those TV
right.
things. And there was no technology then, so now it's a good school.
Right.
And you know what? You would have had an inorganic career path. Because I had a kid come up to me like 15 years ago. He had a business card.
Right.
And he's like, I just did my first half hour. I'm like, excuse me. And he's like, I majored in stand-up. I'm like, no.
What the f- You can't major in stand-up.
You
thank you, Eddie Brill.
Yeah.
So.
But anyway, he was so funny.
But did you apply to other schools?
Yeah, so I got into SUNY Purchase, and my mother wouldn't let me go because she was scared of New York and thought it was New York City. Even though
right,
it
it's not even close.
But I
okay.
I wanted to be a dancer. I had taken dance my whole life, and I
right.
didn't realize, this is my favorite story in the world, I didn't realize I wasn't, at a certain age, you have to then go to Boston Ballet and go
right.
50 times a week and not let your body develop and all
right.
that. So right
and get
that,
molested, yeah.
yeah. Right
by the head of the
point.
Ballet company. Yeah.
Right when I'm like about 11 or 12, where it's like,
yeah.
okay, I either go full anorexic Boston Ballet or I just stay an average kid. My teacher came to my mom's house. I didn't know this, so this is not
mm-hmm.
to my... She's like, I have no more to give Jen. She's pretty good. She should audition for Boston Ballet if she really wants to go for this. She should find out now whether or not she's... qualified.
Right.
But she's not going to learn the intense technique and then
from me.
From me. And then her body will develop and then it's over. And my mom was like, oh, we don't want to drive into Boston and do lessons. But thank you, Diane. I'm so glad she's good. And then never told me. And I, this whole time, I'm like, I'm going to be a professional dancer.
Right.
And I thought just by going to Mrs. Dubois' school of dance
right.
3 days a week. So I'm 18. I start applying to all the big dance
right.
things, UMass,
right.
and this and that. We're driving everywhere. I go into my first audition. It's so overwhelming. These
right.
people already look like they were
right,
fucked.
Right.
And I was like, and this person was like, how many more of these art places are you going? They're basically stopped right now. And he's like, you have a body. You have a butt.
Right.
A butt. Which I don't compare to most people, but right compared to a dancer, right, it's right, like right a Kardashian. And he's like, you can't. Literally, your ass is too big for college. So I was like, what? And my mother goes, funny story. Your teacher came to me. I'm like, I hate you. I was so mad at her. So I go to Emerson, and there's just like people rolling on the ground doing interpretive dance, and there right were donuts at right the audition. I was like, okay, well, I could probably go here.
Right.
And then I majored in acting. And then it was really expensive. So when my mom got her job, she got it a few years before I graduated high school.
Mm-hmm.
And she got it so that I could go to whatever college I wanted. And she that was like her entire salary right was putting. But then I got some scholarships and I did work study and I did loans, tons of loans.
So right.
It was outrageously expensive.
And then did you do stand-up while you were at Emerson?
No, I didn't even. I thought I didn't even want to do comedy. I wanted to be a very serious actress. And
right
then my friend would tell me, you're funny, you start ranting and yelling and getting upset about things. I'm like, I'm going to be a very serious actress. Like, and they were like, and I would audition for things at school and people would be like, it's not good. Like, anytime I tried to be serious, it kind of come off funny.
Right.
I didn't get it. I was just angry about it. I'm like, right, I don't want to be funny. Please take me seriously.
Right.
Not realizing you can get taken very seriously doing stand-up.
Right.
So then it wasn't until someone said you should try stand-up. So I was so like influenced by adults. I didn't know that you don't have to then go find an adult and get their permission to
right
do it. And I went to the dean of Emerson and said, can I do stand-up? Like, can I? Like, I
don't right
know. He goes, well, you would have. He goes, all the greats start at 18. So you're already too old. You're 21. He's like, prior, this, that. He's like,
oh, yeah. That's so true, too. Phyllis Diller started at 37. Take care.
And he's like, you have to start in New York. I'm like, oh, all right. It was so weird. And then I like, okay, well, I guess that's settled.
Right. And then so you graduated.
I graduate, and then like a month after graduation, I see Norm Macdonald at the comedy
right
something in Boston Connection, and I just got this feeling overwhelming in my heart of like, I have to do this.
Right.
I'm up there. I don't want to be with the people right in the audience and have them think I'm one of them. I'm one of them.
Right.
Points to the stage.
Right.
So then I run backstage. How do I become a comic? He's like, I don't know. And he's like,
he's a nice guy.
He was so nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine some idiot who's never been on stage?
Know. And then, all right, so first time.
The first time was very easy because it was so not a real place.
What was
do you
it?
Know Eugene Merman, right?
Of course.
He's the one that got me started.
I love him.
We met at
he lives on the Cape now.
I know.
He was on the show.
He was. I'll have to listen to his episode.
Wasn't he? Oh, no. He said he'd be on the show.
Yeah, I know.
On Star
on,
Talk.
Judy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he better fucking be on.
Oh, yeah,
he owes me big time.
I love him. Yeah, so I was yeah at this audition to, like, it was, like, for game show host, and you had to get up on stage and say, like, two funny things.
What? It was a game show. Was it, like, Comedy Central game show host? Or?
It was even before Comedy Central existed. Right. It was going to be, like, a local Boston
okay
show.
Got you.
Nothing. But okay you got up on a stage at a comedy club and said right two lines and sat down. And Eugene, I don't even know what I said. And then he was sitting back there. I was saying in my mind, like, I imagine Andy Warhol would be sitting somewhere just
right
like, being all weird. And he's right like, I have a stand-up room, I do. Here's a flyer. It's a booked open mic. I didn't even know what that meant.
Right.
He's like, can you be on it next Thursday? I'm like, sure. He's like, you do stand-up, right? I'm like, oh, yeah. And I never had. And then I was living with my parents. Then I got nervous, and I called him at like 1 a.m. I'm like, it's the girl you met at the thing. I don't really do stand-up. He's like, it's just an open mic. He's like, that's okay. I was like, oh, right okay, sorry.
Oh,
and I drove my parents' Oldsmobile to this place in Somerville, Massachusetts, like the back of a bar.
Right.
And it was just me and like 20 other people my age.
Anyone that we know now?
Me.
That's it?
No one else worth mentioning.
No, honestly, no, because a lot of the, my friend Patrick Burley, who became a writer for Fallon, he was in that scene. Brendan Small, who did Home Movies,
mm-hmm,
the cartoon show, and then Eugene and me. That was the four people.
So did you,
but I sat
what was your first joke?
It was written out, it was bad. I don't even want to say it. because it hurts my heart.
Right,
but
go.
I didn't end up saying it on stage.
All right, what?
I ended up telling a story about how I lost my virginity later in life and had been lying about it my whole life.
Right.
So I just told a story. And I had women's magazines, and I'd make fun of them, even though I'm so into them.
Right.
And then I would smoke a cigarette and sit on a stool. I literally just, I didn't know alternative comedy was going on. So at the same time, you've got Mr. Show and Janine. I literally never heard of these people.
David Cross.
I knew Whoopi Goldberg. I knew Lenny Bruce. That was, I just listened to Lenny Bruce records all the time. I had no fucking idea this alternative comedy thing at all. Nothing.
Right.
It was in my own bubble. I'm the same way now. I haven't seen any of the shows everyone's talking about. Whatever.
Okay. So you're sort of doing alternative comedy, not like punchline joke. I mean, punchline, you know, set up punchline.
I have a one-woman show in about a year on Broadway. Broadway.
Right. We'll do that for Broadway. Okay. So,
And then I got my ass.
But all right, so but did you feel great after that first night?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like intoxicating.
I was like, it was almost just like, oh, I'm right, and it'll never be hard.
Right.
And here I go.
And then the second time is shit.
It starts to get worse and worse.
Yeah.
And then Eugene did this thing. This is my favorite thing he ever did. You know those bringer shows at like Stand Up New York and all.
Yeah.
He was like, he didn't tell me what they were. He just said, I booked us at a comedy club in New York. I'm like, oh my God. And we took a bus here. And then we got there, and the guy was like, how many people did you bring? He's like, well, we don't live here. And he schmoozed his way in.
Right.
And so we both got to perform, and I did my little act. It's so bad. I would play a James Taylor song on a boombox and then stop it and then talk about how he was like a physically abusive.
To his,
and I'm like, oh yeah.
Why? Because it's like, so yeah, it's exactly. That's kind of funny.
And then I did
that
a whole
is funny.
About like, watch out for hippie men; they're the most violent,
right?
Which, in theory, is funny, but I doubt I was saying anything funny.
Right,
it was
right.
In your face, you've never thought of this before, everybody. And the host was like, "What the fuck was that?" And the whole club was like, "Ah, ha, ha, ha," laughing at me.
Right.
And I was like, "Oh my God!" But I still was like. They don't get it.
Right.
Such an asshole. And now I'm like, I can't even believe anyone lets me perform. Like, the ego is gone.
Right.
Reverse.
Well, it's good. That's good.
Yeah. So the first year, I was such a dick. And then I couldn't get stage time at clubs. I was trying to write punchline.
But you were still living in Boston, right?
Yeah. And then I moved. After a year, I moved to New York. So I moved here.
What part of New York?
I went right to Brooklyn. I was in 18th and Park something in Park Slope.
And are you doing sets? And how are you making money?
I always had a day job. I always temped. And then I worked.
I was someone who also, before I started making money, enough money to live off, worked.
Because
I did not want to be one of those, I'm broke. It's like, then fucking get up and get a job. And I wanted health insurance too. So I would barter
health insurance. I worked at
That's a Jew thing.
Yeah. I was like, why would I not? I worked at .com. I was a 9-to-5 executive assistant. And in Boston, I'd been at Boston Ballet, like a group sales manager, and like had a real job, like helping inner city kids find out about the ballet and sell tickets and this. So like, I always had that responsibility, and I love desks and like I love jobs and having a desk and stuff.
Right.
So like, I mean, I don't now, but I like my own.
Yes. Now, so what year is this that you're
this
here?
This is 98, 99, 2000, 2001.
Okay.
So it's like.
So then tell us about.
So I'm doing Luna Lounge. I'm doing B3, all these, every little.
You're doing the alternative.
Surf reality. I'm trying to get into clubs. They just are like, nope.
It's so funny because I was in all the clubs and I wanted to do the alternative because I always felt like I was a storyteller and they were like, no.
Oh, that's so
terrible. It's like, yo, shut the fuck up.
Chemda was a regular at Surf Reality. That was like her little family group. Yeah.
It was so Chemda. It was so divided. And I was like, I'm not trying to not be alternative. I am. And I guess I've nurtured it, though. We get it. I got to learn how to do clubs.
Right.
And I learned how to do them by moving to LA, weirdly, even though there's less there.
Right. But. So 2001, 9/11.
I love 9/11. And I might go to the museum after this because I'm getting a free ticket anyway.
Okay.
I'm obsessed with 9/11.
Okay, so you were there.
My birthday.
Yeah. And I talk about it. I have a podcast. I talk about it every episode. I think it's the greatest day of my life. Everything changed that day for me. Because there was a neurosis and a selfish, like...
Me, yeah.
My anxiety was real, but the other part of it, where it was just self-focused...
Right.
Went away. I was like, how can I, when people are dying and I'm so lucky?
Right.
No, this shit's over. And then, of course, it like it, that doesn't last that long.
Right.
But it was a nice...
Okay, so you were at, you were working in the...
Oh my God, this is the best story of all time.
Okay.
Oh my God, okay. So the night before, I realize I'm dating someone.
Who?
He's a Jew, John. Okay, that's his last name.
So no H, J-O-N.
No H.
Okay, go.
He's so funny. He was super Jewy, and he would get mad at me sometimes and be like, my family wants to marry someone Jewish, the Holocaust, this and that. I'm like, I'm sorry, no one
Holocaust.
Break up with me, you know? So anyway, and he's like, we're not having a Christmas tree if we ever get married. I'm like, oh, fine. We want to, you know. So anyway, long story short, cut to, I break up with him.
Right.
Cut to, he moves to LA. We become friends again. He is now married to the most Catholic, like, woman who's like Mexican heritage.
Right.
And every year with the tree and the Facebook.
Wow.
And we email each other and I laugh and it's right. So lovely and he's a delight.
Right.
Anyway, he became a very successful TV writer. But anyway, so we're dating. I think I'm unhappy. I think I'm in love with my good friend who just moved to LA. And my friends are like, oh, dude, all you talk about is your friend. You know, and I go, I do want to move to LA. I don't know. Anyway, I get very drunk and I call my friend, I think, but I'm sort of like very drunk. I don't remember. And I tell him in a voicemail, like, I'm in love with you. And I don't remember.
This is John with no H.
John, I was my boyfriend.
This is a different. Okay.
Friend of mine in LA.
Callie.
Oh, okay.
My LA friend, boy. And what's Bob?
Bob, Jewish?
Yeah. No, he's not Jewish. Right. His name's not really Bob. But let's say Bob moves to LA. We were really close. I suddenly am talking about a lot of my friends are like, you similar.
Okay.
9:10. I call him at like 3 a.m. back of a cab. I love you. Okay. Next
all right.
day.
Wait, let's do the phone call.
I don't.
Hi, this is Bob. Please leave a message after the beep.
It's Jen. I don't love John. I think I love you, but I don't want to. I might want to move to LA, but if you love me, I'll dump John and come there. But if you don't, I won't. Okay, bye. It was like that.
Beep.
Beep. Okay.
So I go to
send
bed.
Your message with urgent delivery.
All right.
I don't think I even had that yet. I go to bed.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be at work at 10 every day. This day, they're like, come in at 9.
Okay.
9:11, we have to be there early.
Right.
We didn't know it was 9:11 yet. I'm working at a startup company. It's a dumb company. It doesn't exist anymore. So I wake up, like, 3 hours sleep, drunk and hungover, I feel like. I'm just an idiot, 26-year-old.
Right.
I'm on the subway. You know, in Brooklyn, it goes above ground for a little bit.
Yes.
You can see the Trade Center.
Yeah.
Hadn't happened yet. It goes underground, plane must have hit.
Right.
So I didn't see it. I get up above ground, and I look at my phone, and I see all these calls to Bob, and I'm like, what? And then it starts, I remember, and that message I just left comes to me, and I go, oh, my God. He was a very sensitive person.
Right.
Like, he wouldn't have liked that I handled it that way.
Right.
Have lost the friendship.
Right.
We did end up dating years later. But anyway, so I'm obsessed with myself, and I'm leaving voicemails to friends. Oh, my God. And I'm late for work, and I'm supposed to be there at 9. And it's
right.
And I'm at my little coffee cart that I go to every day, and I'm like, crazy day. And he's like, yeah, right? And I'm like, woo, one of the weirdest. And he's like, yeah, they say it's a drunk pilot, though. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I'm talking about, I left a voicemail to my friend. And he's like, excuse me, do you ever
get out of yourself?
Yeah. And he points, and I look, and I'm like, oh. And he's like, they think it's a drunk pilot. So the second one hadn't hit yet or something.
Right.
And then I go into the building at work.
Which is where?
23rd and 6th.
Okay.
So it's not far.
Right.
But it's not close.
Right.
I mean, it's not close at all. But anyway, so
it's close.
It's so close.
It's so close. I smelled it. I smelled it.
For sure. But I wasn't in danger of like a falling debris.
It's super close.
It's pretty close. Yeah. If there were no buildings, you'd be like, oh my God, that's so close. All right, go ahead.
So anyway, I get into work and this guy goes, a plane hit. I go, drunk pilot. He goes, another one hit. And then...
two drunk pilots.
But my whole life, my parents are like, nuclear war. The world's going to end. Destruction. So
Jewish. Go ahead.
So I've been sort of like... waiting for this moment in a way.
Right.
Like, I'm ready.
And right.
I screamed, this is terrorism. I'm like, go, everyone do this. We need batteries, we need water. Everyone's like, what is happening? Why are you so on top of it? I'm like, because I've been waiting. This anxiety's been released.
Right.
You just made posters.
Yeah, like the that's right.
Right.
I was like, the global anxiety that everyone's feeling. And I feel this way now with Trump. I can relax when everyone else is freaking out. Because I'm, you know, so. And then my boss wouldn't let us leave. And I'm like, it seems to be like the world's ending. He's like, well, let's just, where else are we going to go? And then he's
like, did he want you to get work done or?
We had a meeting scheduled that day with Cantor Fitzgerald. I'm like, I heard they all just died. Legitimately, everyone in the company just died. He goes, can you call over there? I'm not calling over there.
Right.
The phone.
Who the fuck? Is this your boss? What's his name?
Evan, Jewish.
I knew it.
And he used to make fun of me for taking yoga class. He goes, right. That's not a workout. And then he quit the whole scene.
And became a yogi?
Yeah.
Fuck Evan.
And he emails me once in a while to see if I'll do private stand-up at parties, and I never write back.
No, you can't do private stand-up at parties. It's like that's like that? Fucking the worst thing ever in the whole world. No. All right, go ahead.
Didn't you do stand-up once at another Judy Gold's private party?
Yes, I did. Judy Gold's birthday party in Chicago. She's like a big macher. And you know who was there? Tammy Duckworth was there.
Why do I know that name, but I don't know that name?
She's a senator.
Oh, Tammy Duckworth, a senator. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I know. I was thinking comic.
You know, she was in the. She has no. She's a. Yeah. She's the greatest. And it was like a. It was really fun, actually.
It went well, though.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes they suck. All right. Most of 99%. All right. Go.
Short, I'm like, oh my God! I try to call John. He worked on Chambers Street.
Right.
And
John with no age.
John
yeah.
John with no age. And I. We didn't know that yet. That it was. The day that no one's cell phone worked. So I thought if your cell phone didn't work, you must be dead.
Right.
So it was some weird noise happened, and I thought he died. And so that was really weird. And then he literally had walked up to my work, and he was covered in dirt. And he's like, I have $500 cash. Maybe we can get out of here. I'm like, where will we go? He's like, I don't know. So this is the other weird thing about 9/11. I never wore, I'm not like a shoe girl. Like, right. Like with people with the high heels. I don't like that. But
yeah.
I love shoes. But I went and bought this like funky kind of like real crazy shoe that you don't walk around in New York.
Right.
I bought it the weekend before that Saturday. And I was like, I never would wear these because I walk so much.
Right.
And they're like, it's a great shoe if you ever need to break out into a run. And I go, why would I need to break out into a run suddenly in New York?
Right.
And we were having this weird conversation. I'm like, I don't know if I had
right.
to.
Right.
I said some weird thing. Anyway, so. I was going to wear those shoes that day, and then something told me just wear sneakers. And it was so weird. All
wow.
This weird, but it was the day I left my Klonopin at home, too. So that was weird. So I didn't have a pill to take. But anyway, so I lived in Brooklyn, so I stayed with John on the Upper West Side that night.
Oh, I was there!
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Do you know what was so weird? When we walked from 23rd to, like, almost 80th or whatever.
Right.
People were like at the Gap shopping at like 3 p.m. I'm like, what are you doing? There was business as usual going
that,
on.
I walked out and it was just people trying to get off Manhattan. You know, there was
right.
cars, people were walking. I had to go pick up Henry at kindergarten across
aww.
Town and walk back with him. Ben was a month old. And my ex, Sharon, is like, I'm just going to stay at work. I'm like, Sharon, it's a fucking terrorist attack.
Yeah,
she got a cab. How the fuck did she get a cab?
Where was she?
Midtown.
Yeah, there was like a lot of, where yeah. I was too, there was a lot of normalcy going on. Like, you
right.
totally have gotten a cab.
Right. And then it all stopped.
Smell,
oh,
yeah.
the smell.
The next day, my boss made us come in.
I'm and like, the quiet. The quiet, because you didn't hear, there's no planes. It was so fucking weird.
There was no, and I walked down as close as you could get to
mm-hmm.
where everything stopped. It looked like a movie.
Right.
There were no cars parked
right.
anywhere, because nothing could be anywhere.
Right.
It could be a bomb. To see the military walking
my
around.
My friend came over, walked to my apartment. Insane. We all gave him clothes, and one of my neighbors gave him a bike, and he rode his bike home to Westchester to his family.
Whoa.
It was what? Horrible. Yeah. All right, so.
I love that. But see, the thing is, and then I was like, oh, I'm going to donate blood. And then that moment when, like, hours later, like, we don't need anything because everyone's dead.
Yeah.
And the smell, you could smell the bodies and the steel.
Well, Ben, my little one, got a really bad infection, some sort of infection. He was under 6 weeks old. So they had to do a spinal tap, and we had to go to NYU where the morgue is, and it was 2 days later. It was the 13th or the 14th, we got to the hospital, and I was breastfeeding, so I, you know, but I wasn't going to leave him anyway. And we get to the hospital, and I said, oh, is it busy? And they're like, no, it's not.
Because there's no body.
But every time they walk down the hallway with the IV and I heard the noise, I was like, oh, another plane's hitting. Like, it was so fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So after 9/11,
mm-hmm.
you change, basically. Do you think you profoundly change or?
No, it didn't last long. But I just remembered. It was the first time that thought went into my head, which was powerful. I could always reference that moment. But no, I didn't change. I just became more like, fuck, we can go down anytime. I better be where I really want to be.
Right.
And at that point, for some reason, I really wanted to go to LA. It was just,
right.
I was a little bit like, kind of being a little victim crap kid.
Right.
I was like, it's cold sometimes and it's hard.
Right.
I'm tired. But I was tired. I mean,
right.
I did, shows every night till 1 a.m.
Right.
Works at day jobs. I mean, I guess it's tiring.
All right, so you go to L.A.
So I go to L.A. on a train because I was afraid to fly.
I love trains.
Me too. I was so sad that our infrastructure is
I know.
Terrible.
It's in really good shape. Go.
But I took an
we should build a wall.
Country.
Go.
But not even because of 9/11. I would have anyway. I was afraid of flying.
Right.
But what was so annoying to me that 9/11 did to the city was not the actual I'm afraid of the terrorist attack. It was the aftermath of the paranoia and the subway stopping and the anthrax.
Right.
It was like
right.
just life became like
right.
annoying. So I was like, I want to just...
I mean, we went to the Knicks game last night.
Yeah.
It's like a line out, like... They go through your bag. They go, you go through a metal detector. Like, I remember when I first started doing stand-up, if you had to cancel a gig and you got a friend to cover for you, you could just give them your plane ticket. No one checked your fucking name.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I used to show up with cash at the airport when I used to fly to New York.
Right. And no one was like, oh, I'm just paying cash for a ticket. Something's wrong. You know, it was like, yeah.
But all right. I was thinking this is a really morbid thought when I was flying here yesterday. It is so weird to me that you can still walk into an airport and the security doesn't start until you start going to the gates. Like,
right.
the front doors, there's no metal detectors. I
right.
can just blow everyone away
right.
at the ticket check.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't.
You could also just walk in and steal everyone's shit from the carousels.
Yeah, 100%. That's true, too. I could just walk in. Although someone, you run that risk of someone
right.
going, that's my suitcase.
Yeah. But you can grab the ones that they set next to them right after.
Oh, right. That no one's claimed yet.
Right, yeah. right.
I mean, it's weird anyway.
Holiday
so
gift ideas.
Yeah.
You still have that freedom in a way. But
all right. So you go to L.A. What part of L.A. do you move to?
I moved to Los Feliz.
Ah, that's where I moved first, too. Yeah.
It's very New York.
My mother came to visit me there, too. Oh. We had so much fun. Yeah.
But yeah, I went and I found an ad on Craigslist and lived with these two hippies, this weird couple. And they were so awful. They're like, I'm glad everyone died in 9/11. Those money-making bankers, like whatever, like they would have.
That's great.
They're like probably third-party voter kind
right.
of.
Is that when you had the joke about hippies being violent?
No, that was before that. But then weirdly... This guy that lived in the house would always wear a wool blazer. And my friend said, you know, sociopaths don't notice temperature. I don't know
right.
if that's true.
Is that true?
No, I don't know. Or psychopaths. Probably. But I was like, then it's...
I didn't know that. Did you know that? Uh-oh. Wait, is that Alan
true.
Gold? Is that my brother? Okay, so...
So then the girl moves out, and then it's just me and the guy who looks like Charles Manson. And then he just starts, like, trying to hang out more. He's like, I didn't know you did comedy. Want to go see Steve Martin? I'm like, actually, I don't. Never been interested in Steve Martin. Ever.
So...
Sorry to say.
Anyway,
so then I
we
moved.
Won't tell Steve.
So then I moved. I moved all over.
But so I love Los... And I got an apartment too. With these two women, ready? One of them is still my friend. So, and then Shelley had the other room. There were three bedrooms. I had my own bathroom, even though I was only there part of the time because, you know, I'm the Jew. And I was like, do not use my bathroom when I'm away. I'm like, anyway,
I'm sure
Shelley, we were like, Shelley, what do you do? You know, Shelley was this very large black woman, very attractive face, but very obese and sweet and cats. And, she worked from home, but in her room, you know, she did telemarketing.
Oh.
And then I find out, phone sex operator.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah. So the phone sex operator is in the fucking room with their cat. Little do they know.
That they're being a stereotype?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, were you in L.A. to find fame and fortune in the sitcom world?
I went to L.A., why did I first go out there? When I first went out, I got a Roseanne episode.
Oh, nice.
That was 1991.
Yeah.
And then, I went out because I think so to do more. I took more acting classes that were geared towards TV and preparing for TV auditions.
Yeah.
But I also was working at the Improv, the Comedy Store, and the Laugh. I was like one of the only comics who worked all three.
Right.
And Mitzi had taken an interest in me, and she would give me the belly room every Friday night at 8
awesome.
O'clock. She was so good to me.
As she should be. You're literally, I think, one of the greatest comics that America has produced.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Anyway.
And so, and I always just wanted to be a great comic. So yeah. I was really doing a lot of stand, and then I got a series, the Margaret Cho series, which was great. And then I got a house and whatever. So how did you, you're doing this sort of alternative.
Yeah.
Did you do On Cabaret where they never let me do On Cabaret?
No, she didn't let me do it.
She didn't let me do it.
Yeah, she said it's more like
Beth Lapidus.
Yeah, and I'm like, the Sklar brothers are celebrities.
Yeah, I know Sklar brothers, two of them.
But you know, I was a little new to everything.
Right
now, she loves me.
Oh, Beth, I know.
I don't mean like I'm a celebrity. I just mean like I think I was just new to town.
Right, you know? Right.
I get it. Sometimes there's
right,
but I was never part of that crowd. But I got really lucky when I moved here because my last couple months in New York, I had done Luna Lounge and some. Comics from LA. Paul F. Tompkins had seen me
right
and liked my stuff, and he told the guy that runs Largo about me, and I just started to get to do Largo like the second I got here,
right?
And so that was
that's great cool.
So that was like where I got to meet real comics who do both,
right?
And in LA there was a more right. of a we do both kind of vibe.
right
and so then I started getting spots here and there at the Improv, always dying though, just a death. And I swear to God,
it's such a whole different vibe.
I also think it was just worse back then. Like, I forgot I was sort of starting at a weird time.
Right.
Like, bad people came to clubs
right.
that didn't know what they wanted to
see. Right.
But, yeah, and then so I just was working a day job, same thing. Like, I worked at Lifetime TV.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I worked, like, in the web department. It was me and, like, a friend from college that I'd lived with in Brooklyn,
right.
my friend Evan, and then this woman, Sybil, Jewish, Belle. And
my mother's middle name, Sybil. Go.
With an S, Y.
Yes, Sybil.
Yeah, so I did like I watched clips of the Golden Girls and put them online and wrote Rose Fell Down or whatever.
B. Arthur.
Oh yeah.
Love.
Hey, you know, you used to have a joke where your mother.
Yes,
so
but
did you fall down?
No, and that's no. Fall. That was I play my mother's message.
Where she says, Judith.
Yeah, Judith, where are you? I'm a wreck. Did you fall down? Maybe I'll call Marjorie and find out what happened. Judith, where are you?
It's my favorite
so
bit.
Long.
And you did fall down. Look at it. Years later.
And now I've fallen down.
She died.
But I had a joke about how when my mother had her. You know, she had her cataracts removed, and they gave them, you know, those big, yes. huge sunglasses. So she decided after she didn't need to wear them anymore that they were attractive, and like she would wear them. And so I used to do a joke about her still wearing, and I was like, oh, she looks like Bea Arthur as a welder, right? So one night I'm at Caroline's, it's Mother's Day, and she came in, and I do the joke, Bea Arthur as a welder, and she pulls the glasses out and wears them for the rest of the whole show. And then I was doing a show, I think it was San Diego, and I did the joke, and this woman came up to me after and goes, you know, I work at the company who makes the glasses. And she sent a box of like all different color cataract glasses to my mother.
That's so
she
oh my
had,
God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Did those, you think she was kind of doing like a Jackie O thing?
She was just, I don't, what's wrong with them? What is, I, you know, they're very good. They block the sun. And, yeah.
People
so.
Hitting their parents is my favorite thing.
Yeah, no, Judith, I don't understand.
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
It's Just Kill Me.
Oh. Don't forget to turn. For part two on Just Kill Me.
No, it's not. It's just
Kill Me.
Now.
No, Judy Gold's Just Kill Me.
Just Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me Now.